Wisconsin loves paddle sports, and we have lots of great places to enjoy that hobby here in the state of Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Turning our attention from bicycles to, well, canoes and kayaks and all kinds of things with our guest, Aaron Bush, back in the studio with me, the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. And he's here to talk with us about paddling, tell us what's going on with this year's Canoe Copia as well. It's on the same weekend and really in the same location, just a hop, skip, and a jump from the Bike Federation, from the bicycle show. And so we'll talk about paddle sports. We'll talk about the show, the event. We can discuss equipment. And certainly happy to take your questions. I hope you'll call in. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And Aaron Bush, welcome back.
Thank you.
You look pretty sanguine for someone who has as a big event as you've got coming up this week.
Sanguine? Jeez. I didn't do that well in my GREs. That's a great word. I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I've got the best team in the world, so otherwise I couldn't be here.
Yeah, and can you, just to, for those who aren't familiar with it, let's just give us the background of this.
Jeepers. So about 40 years ago, I think this is Rutabaga's 40th anniversary this year, they put some boats in front of the shop and had an event called Meet the Folks Who Build the Boats. And a guy would drive down from Winona, you know, Mike Chickenowski would come down with the trailer full of boats, and Roy Gwynn would drive up from Tennessee with Blue Holes, and they'd have a little event, and then it moved into the old Dane County Forum, mm-hmm. and then they scraped that off in 1994, I think, something like that, and it's been growing ever since, so we take up the whole exposition hall now.
Yeah, and it is really a fun event. It's almost too much to take in. Oh, my goodness me.
That's why it's a three-day event, Larry.
I tell you. So there, and you know, we'll get into more specifics as we go along here, but just for, I mean, in terms of educational opportunities, speakers, and what, I mean, it is unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing that I'm actually most proud of, is the opportunity for education. That's why my title is Chief Paddling Evangelist, is my job is to educate people on the good word of paddling. And 150 presentations over the course of 3 days, there's everything from soup to nuts. You can learn stuff for beginners. There's stuff for experts. There's stuff for people who like to travel. So we try and put together a lineup of speakers that have something for everybody.
Yeah. And some of those travels, well, they're all good, but I mean, some of those travel speakers in the past, I've really enjoyed listening. Well,
yeah, we've got a guy, Lonnie Bedwell, speaking this year. He's the first kayaker to paddle the Grand Canyon, who happens to be blind. And so he had a guy behind him going, go right, go left, go right, go left.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's very inspirational. And then Dale Sanders, who paddled the entire length of the Mississippi at 81 years old from Lake Itasca to New Orleans to raise awareness and money for diabetes.
Oh, my goodness. So, there's another inspirational one.
Oh, he looks like he's about 60. Yeah. He just dances around.
Well, yeah, if you bike that far, paddle that far, sorry, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Oh, he's wonderful. And he won an award last year from Canoe and Kayak Magazine for, Inspirational Paddle of the Year. And when they announced his name, he skipped the steps and jumped on stage. just like a 3-foot riser, just jumped up and thanked everybody. He says, I'm just an old guy that paddles, you know.
So,
that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, I was running along Lake Monona this morning in Madison, and the water's pretty open.
It's very open. It's also very cold.
And Lake Mendota the same.
Yeah, I drive past Wingra by Violet's Park, and it was open. And it's usually not open this time of year. I don't go out and paddle in March usually. I've got an Adirondack guide boat that I take out when it's this cold because it's a little bit more seaworthy and dry. But come April, I'll be out.
Yeah. Paddle sports encompasses, well, it's not certainly canoe and kayak. There are other things as well.
Yeah, basically, we credit anything that uses human power. Now, rowing is a different animal completely. Canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, everything.
Yeah, the paddle boards have become a lot more popular, have they not?
They have. And it's interesting. They've been around for quite a while in Hawaii. They use them to catch bigger waves because you need more speed. So they'd use a paddle to catch the wave. And Laird Hamilton, who's a very famous surfer, actually really made it more popular. But then people in the Midwest said, hey, well, let's use this for exercise. Let's make it good for something besides surfing. So there's racing SUP boards that are long and skinny and go very fast. And there's, you know, ones that are more maneuverable and inflatable ones. They've just got a whole variety.
I like those more maneuverable ones.
Yeah, they're fun.
Because I can stand up on those and actually go. The racing ones, you need a little skill.
Yeah, you do. I'm not there yet. I mean, I can paddle them, but it isn't like I'd rather be on a little bit more maneuverable, fun, stable board.
Yeah.
But people do yoga on it. I mean, it's really a way to connect with the water, and that's one of the things I like about it is you're, you know, there's not much boat there, right? You're mm-hmm. just standing on top of the water a few inches higher than the surface of the water. So it's really fun.
I've been at over at Rutabaga at your shop there, and of course you've got that water. You're right on the water. Mm-hmm. And I've watched some people doing yoga in that little pond area that's right where you come up kind of behind your shop.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's really interesting to watch because someone who's really good at yoga can get on a board and go, wait a second, I'm not distributing my weight equally, you know, because the basement floor doesn't push back, right? But the board, if you have your hands off to one side, you're not quite lined up, you'll start to wobble around. So it really makes your core a little bit stronger and makes you a little bit more aware of your balance.
Yeah. Darren Bush, our guest today, talking paddling, canoeing, and other paddle sports with him. And certainly we're also talking about Canoe-copia. It's March 10th through the 12th at the Alliant Energy Center. You may have a question about your canoe or about a canoe or about a any other paddle sport, kayaking, certainly. I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. What do you love about paddling?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What do I love about breathing? It's just part of me. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons people paddle, just like there's a lot of different reasons people bike. You know, you can get people who are triathletes that are going out for long rides as fast as they can and really getting into the zone. And there's people who mountain bike and everything in between. People go get groceries. So paddling is a lot the same. You've got people that are really into going fast and, you know, racing canoes. And you've got people that just want to poke down, you know, a little stream and just hang out. And then there's people who don't really paddle to paddle. They paddle to do something else. So they paddle to fish. They paddle to birdwatch. They paddle to, you know, go out and pick berries along the shore, take pictures, whatever. So, yeah, it's really a vehicle to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I do. I'm one of these. I'm not a racer by any means at all.
Almost nobody is, to be honest. It's a very rare thing.
It's more fun just to go along, and maybe I've got my camera, and the birds you see, the fish that you might even see, you know, you're right next to the water. It's that whole experience for me that is, and then you're outside. It usually smells pretty good, and you're getting a little exercise.
Yeah, I'm really into dragonflies and damselflies. I love odonates, and so being on a small stream is like paradise because just you paddle. You know, 100 yards and you see 10 species. It's really cool.
It's amazing. And you're a pretty good photographer, too. And I've noticed on your own site that you occasionally get some photos.
Better to be lucky than good, right? I mean, you take a few thousand pictures, you're going to get 3 good ones, right?
Oh, man. Jesse in Presque Isle, let's go to you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I spent a lot of time kayaking in the past few years, and actually through the Camp Manitouish program.
Mm-hmm.
I took a mariner trip to the north coast of Lake Superior for about 500 plus miles, a 52-day trip. And I just had the best experience of my whole life and, you know, took so many pictures, but you really, you know, you're out there in the wilderness, and especially Lake Superior had just some crazy, crazy waves. You really start feeling how big the world is, I guess.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share my experience.
So you went past Rossport and Slate Islands?
Yeah, we started in Sault Ste. Marie and actually came all the way down into Minnesota.
Nice. So Rossport has the best bacon I've ever had in my life.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's beautiful paddling and there's, you know, it looks like New England. There's this little town, but we stopped for some food and it was like, we're in Canada. Best bacon ever.
I think there were only two or three towns that we were able to stop at, and they were so quaint and cool. You know, lots of mom and pop shops and stuff are really, I mean, campsites you barely would ever see anybody up there.
Yeah, people up in the north part of Superior are so nice, so accommodating. Yeah,
well, thanks for sharing that, Jesse. And did you do that through a regular program or just on your own?
Yeah, through a program with Camp Manitouish.
Oh, with Camp Manitouish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so anybody could go to Camp Manitouish or online and find that information, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
There's three or four camps that are like, you know, Minogian, Widjiwagen, Manitouish. Those three are kind of the triad. Manitouish is a fantastic program. We've had several employees that come through there.
Jesse, thank you again. I appreciate it very much. Sarush in Appleton, thank you for calling.
This is Sarush, owner of River Kayaking Company in Appleton.
Yeah.
My question was, what do you guys think about sit-in kayaks versus sit-on-top? Our fleet is all sit-on-top, and we paddle through the locks through the Fox River. I just wanted to hear what you guys think, sit-on-top versus sit-in kayaks.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That's kind of like, so I look at sit-on-tops, it's kind of like fat tire bikes. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the rolling performance, right? They don't roll along like a road bike does. But they're really good for certain conditions. Sit-on-tops are certainly really safe. You fall off, you climb back on. They're not as quick because they have to be wider to make up for the you're sitting higher. They're a little bit more wet. You tend to get a little wet butt sometimes, but they're a really good tool for a lot of things.
Yeah. We can talk some more about that. We need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us. Then we'll be back with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. More and more people are enjoying paddle sports, and maybe you are one of them. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we visit with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. He's getting ready for Canucopia this weekend. What are you doing to get ready for paddling season? What do you want to know about paddling? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And Darren, we're going to go right to Kevin in McFarland, who's been waiting a bit. Kevin, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Larry, for taking my call. Two things. I was wondering, just like biking, if paddling is trending upwards as a form of commuting around the world. And then the second question was, in the summer, I've been on a stream and almost wanted to portage through the stream because it was so depleted of water. So I was wondering if there are environmental organizations, like Ducks Unlimited is for ducks and the environment, if there are paddlers for cleaner streams and so forth. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. A couple of things there, Darren.
As far as kayak commuting, it's not as popular as bike commuting, obviously, because you have to have a home closer to the water and a workplace closer to the water. I'm about a mile from Wingra, and I can paddle from Wingra to my shop, but it takes an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are places where people commute, especially water cultures, but the idea of actually paddling to work is fairly rare. I do it periodically, just because it's kind of fun, especially around June when there's light at 5 in the morning until 9 at night.
In terms of organizations, it's talking about depleted water or organizations that work on those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Wisconsin River Alliance, which is probably the most popular group in the state. They do a lot of really good work. And part of that is the Clean Lakes Alliance here in Madison. They do a good job. And then there's a Blue Water Business Consortium, which is part allied with the River Alliance. And that's basically a bunch of businesses of all types that are interested in keeping the water clean. And there's brewers on there because they need clean water to make beer. And there's realtors who are struggling with selling lakefront property that's drying up. And, you know, people like me who need clean water to, you know, earn a living. So, yeah, that's a good organization as well. So the River Alliance is probably the one that's most active in the state.
The Facebook page has come up, well, somebody has sent something to us on Facebook, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Terry sent a photo, a really pretty photo, small lake in Oconee County. Doesn't say the name of the lake.
That's very smart.
That's probably smart. It's really beautiful, and it's surrounded by cranberries, and she says, I'm able to pick them right from my kayak.
Yeah, you can get the things you can't get to in a kayak that you can't get to walking. You can pick cranberries, and you can pick rose hips, and you can take pictures of things that you just can't get to. So, yeah. Also fishing. You can get in places fishing that you can't get into either walking or with a powerboat because you've got, you know, 3 or 4 inches of a draft.
Yeah, and there can be some good fishing in those spots as well.
Indeed, they haven't seen much action.
That's exactly right. Barbara in Appleton has something for us. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you have ever read The Boys in the Boat.
It's on my stack of books right now.
Oh, I'm in a book club, and that was the last book we read, and it is just awesome because it goes back and it's factual, 1930s, and they won the Olympics. And Seattle, Washington, and it's kind of made out to be a guy's book, but we are all gals, and every one of us just loved it. So if you don't know anything about it, or, you know, I would recommend it, and I hope you read it and get back to us on your opinion.
Sure.
Because it really makes it look like a powerful sport that's more about, you know, the mind and the muscles in the body and everybody working together as one when they row their
You're right. It's like I said, I've had like 4 or 5 friends tell me about it, so you make number 6.
Oh.
It's on my list.
Good.
But
okay.
I've talked about it with a lot of friends, and the story is, yeah, it's about rowing, but it's more about just, you know, relationships and such.
And it's going to make people want to get out there and do it.
Right. I've rowed in an 8 before. That is like an amazing experience. It's not anything like paddling, but when you get in the zone with 7 other rowers, it's like someone turned on the supercharger. It's really, really cool.
And I haven't done it yet. I have a friend who does it for fun, and you can do that. There is an organization in Madison that just sort of people that want to try it out and do it. And, great exercise, obviously, but I think that whole business of, you know, you've got 8 people in that boat, but they're sort of one mind.
Right. It's a hive mind. Yeah. It's like you are in sync, and if you're not,
you're in big trouble.
Yeah, you're just going to go slow.
And if you watch, you know, you can watch a cruise on television, let's say, or maybe you see them from a distance, but if you're up close, or if you're ever watching someone in a boat who is coaching and seeing how fast
you don't realize how fast they're going when you see on television. You get down next to one and they are flying.
They are absolutely flying. So thanks very much for calling that in. And The Boys in the Boat, I think, was the title of that particular book. What do you, Michael emailed to ask what you think about stand-up paddleboarding in Wisconsin.
Interesting question and a good question. So there's a great analogy. So in like the early 90s, there really weren't any recreational kayaks. You could get a sea kayak or you can get a whitewater kayak, really at the extremes. And then in the early 90s, 93, 94, people came out with the kind of short, wider sea kayaks that were more recreational. And then they got a little smaller than that. So basically, they found the niche in the market where most people don't want to do the extreme stuff. They want to do the middle of the road stuff. And paddleboarding has gone through the same sort of evolution. It started off, you got a 6.5 foot surfboard, or you got a 14 foot race board. And it's kind of gradually coming to the middle, to the point where they're making boards just for paddling flat water that aren't race boats. And that's where most of the traction is. People like to go out and go straight. They want to get a little bit of exercise, but they don't have to. You know, you can just go out, like going for a brisk walk. You know, you don't have to go out and hammer it.
Been out there with my daughter, and sometimes, you know, you're just sitting on the board, you know, and just enjoying what's around you.
I paddle out to Winger with my wife, and we sit down and just kind of chill, watch the sun go down, and then paddle back.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. John from Elk Grove asked on Facebook what you think about using a sliding seat rowboat to row the length of the Wisconsin River.
It depends what you mean by the length. Up high, north of Rhinelander, it's not going to work. It's very narrow. But when you get down to, Stevens Point and around that area where the river widens out and there's more dams, yeah, it'd be fine. If you want to do it, do it. Just don't go way up north.
I would think that, yeah, a sliding seat rowboat, that reminds me of something kind of heavy and...
Not necessarily. The thing is, it's a style thing. You know, you're not seeing where you're going. You know, when you're rowing, you're looking backwards. I prefer to face forward. That's just how it works for me. But if he wants to paddle, I mean, I'd go from the dam to Wyalusing. The problem is with that boat, they're fast. It'd only take a day and a half instead of three.
Well, and what is it about the sliding seat? It just gives you that much more torque? Or
It lets you use your leg muscles, which are the most powerful muscles in your body. So you basically catch the oars, and your upper body is almost like a transmission. You're just transferring the power from your legs up through your torso to the oars, and then your arms give a little bit of a hitch at the end. Yeah.
Richard in Madison, your turn. Hi, Richard. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'd really like to congratulate Darren for the wonderful work he's done with Team Survivor, Madison's Dragon Boat Team. My wife was on it for many years, and she had a blast. Nancy Salisbury's a really great coach.
Tell us about, Darren, tell us about Dragon Boat.
So dragon boating started in Asia, and they're long, skinny, heavy, but really fast boats. So they'll put as many as 40 people in some of them. Usually it's about 20. And there's an oarsman in the back who's got a giant oar. It's huge. And then a drummer in the front who hits this drum. And they're called dragon boats because there's a dragon head that gets put on the front of it. So they have races, big races, you know, with dozens and dozens of teams, maybe even hundreds. And they're sprint races, so you just go really fast. So the paddlers have these short little paddles, and they just basically go all out for these sprints. And it's become more popular because it has a huge team component to it. And it's like rowing in that you have to do it together, or you're not going to go very fast. So Team Survivor Madison is a group of cancer survivors, women who have had breast cancer and other cancers. You don't have to have a specific one, but you just be a survivor, and they get together and they race. And we keep the boat at our shop, and Nancy is our outdoor programs director, who's wonderful, and we sent her to Dragon Boat Camp to learn how to be a coach. So they come to the shop one night a week and drop the boat in the water and go out and practice, and I've met some dear, dear people, and it's, you know, three times a year we lose somebody just because they're cancer survivors, and they come back. So, but they're a wonderful group of women. They're very supportive. If you're interested, yeah, call Nancy and see if you can get on the team.
At Rutabaga.
Yeah, you can also come to Canucopia and talk to her at the outdoor programs booth. She'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Richard, thank you so much for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And still a little time. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or go to our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show, for that. Daniel on Facebook wants to get, Danielle, I should say.
Yeah, Danielle.
Wants to get her 9-year-old son started on kayaking. Any suggestions? Many rental places in the area have a minimum age requirement that is older than 9 years.
Yeah, and that's probably a good thing because the equipment they rent is too big for a 9-year-old. And that's one of the problems. And a lot of folks just say, well, just get a short, small boat and put them in it. But that's like putting someone on a mountain bike and taping, you know, blocks to the pedals so they can reach. You know, they're not going to have a good experience. Youth equipment is out there. And the good news about it is it doesn't wear out. So I had a boat that I bought for my daughter that has gone through 5 or 6 people, and she's in her late 20s now, and it's not super expensive. The other thing is to let them take a class at Rutabaga. We use appropriate sized equipment for kids.
Yeah, that's I've done one of your evening paddles, mm-hmm. and you know, my daughter was, you know, she's smaller and shorter, and mm-hmm. it was nice to be able to find exactly the right size and so forth for her.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if you took an adult and put them in a kayak that was 3 feet deep and 6 feet wide and 15 feet long, they're not going to have a good experience. So if you just scale that down to what a kid experiences, it's kind of the same thing.
We have some really cool photos up on our Facebook page. I just want to point out, and if you're near your Facebook, your computer, you might go onto the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. Lynn posted a nice photo of wildlife on Lake Wingra. Here we've got a deer munching on some lily pads.
Oh, wow. That's lovely.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? And so they're here again. When you're in a canoe or a kayak like that, you can get pretty darn close.
Right.
You don't pose the same kind of threat.
Right.
I think, is that it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you're 150 feet from Nakoma, right? I mean, there's houses 150 feet away from this, and you would never see this unless you were in a kayak. It's absolutely beautiful. But even paddling down the Wisconsin River, if you're in a big powerboat, if I see turtles or eagles or something up ahead, I'll just take my paddle and put it in my boat and just sit there like a log. And as long as you're not moving, they don't move.
Yeah.
And finally, the turtles go plop, 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 plop. It's like an Esther Williams film where they just off the log. But yeah, you can really get close to wildlife.
And I want to just go to one more that Kathy sent. Kayaking early on Lake Superior. Talk about a beautiful photo. The dark blue of the water and the sky, and then there's a kind of an orange bow of her kayak.
I don't have my glasses, so I can't see what brand it is. Because that's, my wife always says, oh, the boat coming down the interstate the other way. I'm like, look, she's like, just look ahead.
Don't look
at the boat. Don't try to figure out what it is. Just drive, you know.
Oh, man.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you for sending that, Kathy. Let's go to Penny in Green Lake next. Hi, Penny.
Hi. I just wanted to let everybody know that there is a really, and I don't know if you mentioned this or not, there's a great website called milespaddled.com, and we recently got kayaks and we went on the McCann River, and we went on this website. They tell you where you can put in, where you can get out, how long it'll take you, what you'll see. It's a fabulous website, in my opinion, and it got us through the McCann River in one section without difficulty. And there's another great river in our area to kayak, but I'm not telling you what that is. So anyway, Miles Paddled is a great website.
It's a fantastic website. And actually, the authors are speaking at Canucopia this week.
They are?
Right. And they also have a book that was just published that took the best of Miles Paddled and put it in a book form. Because, the Mike Svob book of Paddling Southern Wisconsin went out of print, and the company that published it went out of business and wouldn't sell me the rights to print it again. Which is fine, because these guys are going to do a great job.
Wonderful. Penny,
thanks. Thank
you. Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Have We've talked about a few of the speakers. You talked about the kayaking blind, vision in the mind, not the eyes. So we've heard that story. What are some of the other speakers that you're going to have in?
Oh gosh, I mean there's 90 or 100 of them. So there's so many. There's a couple events that I really like. One is called Aluminum Chef. And everybody knows what Iron Chef is, right? Mm-hmm. You get together a bunch of people and they compete. Aluminum Chef is the same thing, except we use camping equipment, camping stoves. So you have a little bit of a disadvantage in some ways. And we have two relatively well-known people in the paddling world who are good camp cooks. And then we have a chef this year from the Driftless area, from Driftless Cafe, who's coming.
Oh,
and
nice cafe.
Very nice. And so there's a mystery ingredient, just like always. It's been walleye. It's been porcini. It's been all sorts of stuff. So the Driftless donated some food, and it's an hour and change, and they cook a main course, they cook an appetizer, and they cook a dessert. And they just get a bunch of stuff and they have to cook, and it's absolutely a riot.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. And in terms of, I'm trying to, how many businesses that manufacture kayaks and canoes and that sort of thing? How many?
There's 238 exhibitors, I think. It's changed in the past couple of days. We had a few people add at the last minute and drop out. But of that, probably 120 to 130 manufacturers are there.
So if you want to find, I mean, if you're in the market for...
It's pretty much everything's there. it's like Toys R Us for paddlers. I have a friend who worked in the industry for years, and he just left, and he's going as a civilian for the first time. He says, I get to go to see speakers. I'll be duct taped to my booth.
Crystal asked if you have any recommendations for a nice river to canoe that might have islands to camp at overnight in the northern part of the state.
Oh, there's tons. The Namekagon St. Croix River system is wonderful for that. The Black has some nice camping on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Manitouish Chain.
That Manitouish Chain is really
beautiful. And my favorite is probably the Brule, the Bois Brule. Yeah. You can paddle from Winnebago Landing or Stonebridge Landing all the way to Lake Superior. And there is some white water, but it's mostly just bumpy. Class 1, 2, you can usually handle that. But with long stretches of flat. So you have, half a mile of flat, and then a little bumpy rapid. But it's through the middle of a state forest, and it's beautiful and old growth, second growth trees, but they're big. It has the distinction of being the most fly-fished river by American presidents.
Yeah.
All the way back to, before Roosevelt. I mean, presidents love they have lodges, they build log cabins on the river. It's objects of lust for all of us who paddle past them.
Yeah, and I have never fished that river, and it's the stupidest thing on my part. Yeah. I have friends who come back with these wonderful photos of trout and so forth that they've taken, and I think, why am I not doing this?
That's a great question.
Why am I not doing this? Oh, besides all the merchants, you have quite a few nonprofit organizations as well, do you not, at Canoocopia?
Yeah, our lobby is filled with nonprofits, clubs, environmental organizations. The River Alliance is always there. A lot of the paddling clubs around the state come. Coast Guard usually has a booth there to talk about water safety. So, yeah, there's about 40 nonprofits.
And so the event is March 10th through the 12th.
Yep.
And runs pretty much all day on Saturday and...
Yeah, it's 4 to 9 Friday, 9 to 6 Saturday, 10 to 5 Sunday. And it's all on canoocopia.com. So speaker schedules, the whole deal.
Yeah, so go to canoocopia.com to learn more about it. And Darren, I know it's going to be a great weekend. I'm sure of that.
They're all great.
They are. Thank you so much. 40th annual event, Canoocopia, and Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. So March 10th through the 12th. And if you're a bike interested in bikes as well, you've got the Midwest Bike Federation, the Midwest Bike Show as well to attend. Kind of do it at the same time. Well, tomorrow at this time, we'll take a look at home improvement issues and spring maintenance. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us here on the Ideas Network.